The weekend is near and the next round of footy is finally upon us. And your ultimate guide to all the upcoming action lies within the Fox Footy Podcast Bunker. Welcome to Match Committee.
The Premiership favourites officially changed halfway through a game. Such was the dominant nature of Richmond's win to start the round. Then came disastrous losses for both the Crows and Frio. And then by round's end, the footy world was asking itself, does anyone really want to claim eighth spot? We'll discuss all of the above, as well as address the Port Adelaide-sized elephant in the Fox Footy podcast room. Ben Waterworth with you, as is Ross Lyon GIF advocate Max Lawton. Hello, Maxie.
What a moment that was in his press conference.
Yes, last week.
He has a fun press conference most weeks, Ross, but when he's laughing at his own gags and then suddenly turning into a stone-faced sort of gremlin. Yes. Very interesting times.
It was quite a viral GIF. Nice job to the digital team up in Sydney for putting that together. Also joining us is wannabe numerology contributor and the birthday boy himself, Tom Morris. Hello,
Ben. Tom, Maxie, happy birthday. Thank you for having me.
Have you had a happy birthday though, Tom?
It's been terrific. Yes, I went out for breakfast this morning. I've got a family dinner tonight. Went to the gym. And
is that really
Sarah,
all that's happened?
And Sarah, Ollie, and Steph Rosara made me a nice little birthday package of a dip and a cookie and a candle. So I appreciate all the well wishes for being 28, which is a really quite a relevant birthday.
Now, hang on. We're sort of really passing over what's actually happened this morning, Tom.
What's actually happened this morning?
You've been rather busy being called out by the Port Adelaide Football Club because, as we know, you love feuding with South Australia.
Yeah, something about South Australia and me just don't get along. I really enjoy the pink ball test. I like
Farmers
the Adelaide Oval.
Nice coffees.
Yeah, I've got friends in South Australia. Well, where do you want to start, Max?
Well, should we address your story first and then what was said this morning?
Yes, so you wrote a story on foxfooty.com.au and also talked about it on the couch that a few weeks ago, Ken Hinckley casually approached members of the board and asked if he's about job security and whether he was safe.
Yeah, that's it. I can't expand anything more than that aside from go to foxfooty.com.au. That's the story.
And then this morning...
Well articulated, Ben.
We hop onto Twitter and see from... at Koshy Online, and this is, of course, being famous breakfast TV presenter David Kosh.
Who, by the way, many people think my dad looks like. So
Tim Morris. Well,
David Kosh has been a lookalike in my household for a decade.
I mean, in the sense that all bald people look alike, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Very
simple. And glasses, yep.
I'll get there soon.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how to explain this emoji. Looking up, doubting you, at Tom Morris. Sorry, mate, we didn't have a board meeting a fortnight ago. It's always good to check. And I can assure you the last time Ken was in a board meeting, no such conversation occurred. He did then hashtag on the couch, which I appreciate.
Yeah, it's good that he got on the couch
trending. Join the discussion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Response, Thomas.
Well, he also then tweeted you directly a couple of...
I haven't seen that.
Because you've been on SEN... on Tuesday
morning. Let's go one step
at
a time.
Yes, so you've then been on SEN as well and essentially stood by your story and satisfied with what you published.
Well, yeah, because I mean, Koshy's spoken about the board meeting, but I don't know if there's a board meeting or not. I never wrote about a board meeting. There was a conversation. Let's not get distracted by the semantics of whether there was a board meeting or a coffee or a phone conversation. There was a conversation between Koshy and board members and higher-ups at the club in which David Kosh sought clarification on his job security.
Ken Hinckley sought clarification.
Sorry.
Yes.
Ken Hinckley sought job clarification and he was given that clarification and that security. That's the story. I don't know when the last Port Adelaide board meeting was and I never pretended that I did know when the last Port Adelaide board meeting was.
You can understand the confusion there when you say confronted the board, the mind might leap to board meeting, but that's just incorrect in this case.
Well, if I thought there was a board meeting, I would have written board meeting.
Yes.
But yeah, I can understand and I probably could have been clearer in my opening part to suggest that.
So how do you square up? So Koshy, I found his other tweet to you was, I'm on the board and I can tell you it's completely wrong.
The board.
No such thing happened anything close to what you allege. Anything close. So Koshy is just completely denying it.
Yes.
And of course,
haven't seen that. Yeah.
We live in a culture in 2019 where sporting clubs, anyone really, can just say, oh no, that didn't happen. Because that's what we do with the media now. We just say, no, it didn't.
Well, we saw it last year with the Adelaide training camp and I'm probably still a little bit... impacted by that. It certainly affects your bias on a situation when you've been lied to before.
The way the club responded to it.
Yeah, I know it's a different club. Put to one side the fact that they're both South Australian clubs. Mm. This is another football club. It's hardly a salacious story.
No.
Ken Hinckley asked if his job was safe And they said, yes, it's safe.
In the context of that being, that was a day when rumours were really swirling that he might be getting sacked.
And Ken Hinckley was absolutely aware of this as well.
Yeah.
My sources are rock solid here. Ken Hinckley was absolutely aware of the rumours that were flying around and the suggestions that he was about to be sacked a few weeks ago.
Yep.
And as a result, he had a conversation. And that conversation that he had ended up being good for him, and he's still got a job. So I can't really be any more clear than that.
It's one of those things where you... From the outside, I think a lot of Port fans obviously look at this and go, well, the club denied it, therefore Tom must be lying. The leech is at it again.
That's Freo fans.
That's what happens now.
So where does it all sit for Ken Hinckley now? He's got a contract, another couple of years, and you've and others have now speculated that he'd be perfect at Carlton.
I think he would be perfect at Carlton. I think he'd be good at St Kilda, although I think Brett Ratton's going to get that job. I'm not saying who should get which job. I'm just saying Ken Hinckley would be good at another club if a position became available. If John Worsfold decided to leave Essendon, then I think Ken Hinckley would be good at Essendon.
In a fresh start sort of way.
Yes. I know his recent record is pretty ordinary. Hasn't won a final since 2014, if I'm right, at Port. And they sort of turned the tables upside down this year. But I think Ken Hinckley can coach. I just think sometimes being at a club for as long as he's been at the club, 9 seasons now, I think, or 8 seasons.
Something like that.
Well, they've only made finals once in the past five years.
And we were seduced early days, weren't we, when they were a kick away from making a grand final and defeating Hawthorne in that prelim, which is an incredible match.
Which kind of leads me into the bizarre, extraordinary letter that was released by Keith Thomas to fans and members.
What an odd thing on
Monday night. It was, some really emotive language, and essentially took the blame for the disconnect between members and supporters and between members and the club. And he called himself, I think, a Norwood flog during this letter as
well. Yeah, I didn't like the letter. I mean, I might be in the minority. I don't mind a letter as long as you do it right. But I don't think having 5 exclamation marks after
this really hadn't been edited that much.
This to me was, he'd actually be better off talking like this, giving a statement and giving a voice memo to the media or to the club's website. I think the way it was written, I read it and it went for a long time. I thought, this is going around in circles. What's he saying? To me, I got to the end of it and I was like, Keith Thomas is under real pressure here to keep his job, and he knows it. Mm. And this is part of it.
Right.
Don't believe the rhetoric. Port Adelaide know they are absolutely under the pump here. Koshy knows it. Hinckley knows it. Keith Thomas knows it. And Adelaide know they're under the pump here. And to say that everything is stable and fine, we're tickling okay, is absolutely not correct.
There's a very real core to this, because you look at the game on Saturday night against GWS. Yeah. What do they get, 27,000 people to the Adelaide Oval? That's real. That's not good.
Well, there's a commercial element to the whole thing. And in the end, if sponsors jump off or are less inclined to re-sign, then it's only natural that the CEO, Keith Thomas, and the chairman, probably to a lesser extent, looks at the commercial components of the club and looks to change things up. And part of that is the coach. Now, I think Ken Hinckley shouldn't be sacked. And there's been a bit of talk about he's got 2 years left in his deal, so he can't afford to sack him. But there was a bit of news around last night that Ken Hinckley's second year in that deal is actually a trigger clause, similar to Alan Richardson. I don't know what the trigger clause is, if that is true. But if that is the case, they can probably afford to sack him, because it's only 1 year they've got to pay him out.
Yeah.
There's a very real vibe around the Power's issues. I remember, 5 years ago when they started playing games at the Adelaide Oval, that club felt hot.
Yeah.
That club felt sexy. Not just because of the game style, just everything around it, the song, the marching to the ground and stuff like that. And just year after year of disappointment has really put a blanket over all of that.
What's gone wrong?
Yeah.
I think they should be better than they are this year. I know they've got some young kids.
They play better than they look sometimes.
Yeah, when they're at their best, they look insatiable.
Their premiership profile, which the guys on the couch have mentioned a number of times, actually stacks up against the best teams in the competition in terms of all the boxes you need to tick to be a premiership contender. But it's just the inconsistency and the accuracy, which has really cost them several times this year, Max.
Yeah, and they made that big change after the 2017 final and the extra time loss to West Coast, when they probably didn't need to make massive changes. They finished 5th in 17 from memory.
That's right.
And hosted the Eagles who just got in. So since then, they've sort of been burned by that. You can really feel that. And they are young this year, bringing all that extra talent who have played really well this year, that trio of Rosie, Butters and Dersma. But that just brings an inconsistency. Yeah. So
can I say one more thing on this?
Of course.
People like to make it out like it's journalist versus club, and I understand why that's a sexy story, but I've never met Ken Hinckley and I've never met David Koch, and I've got nothing against, they're sticking up for their club and that's fine, but just as I'm sticking up for my story and my job, these things often have attention, and it is a reporter's role and a journalist's role, as I keep going back to the Adelaide training camp last year, but there's several other stories that Sam McClure reported that Mitch McGovern would leave Adelaide, and that was vehemently denied. There's several stories every year which are vehemently denied, and then they are proven true at the end of the year. Now, the difference with this story is I'm never going to be proven correct, because I'm not saying that something's going to happen down the track.
Yeah.
I'm saying this is what happened, and they're saying that didn't happen for whatever reason. But my loyalty is to the company and to my bosses, and that's just about it. And there's no, for me, there's no personal hard feelings about them just disagreeing with that.
Now, hang on. This isn't what you said off air. You said, if I see the cash cow, I'm going to punch him straight in the face. It was ridiculous.
No, mate.
Okay. Fair enough.
Well, I'm not physical like that.
Oh, no.
So Port Adelaide are a part of this Peloton group chasing eighth position at the moment.
Topical reference, Maxi. From you.
Thank you. Yes, because the Tour de France and the Champs-Élysées final ride recently concluded. Yeah. Yes, we will talk about that a little bit later on. But so both the Power and the Crows are part of this chasing group at the moment. And it's, you look at what happened in the round's results, Maxi, and it leads us into the run home.
Yeah.
And you think, who the heck wants to play finals at the moment? Because no one's putting their hand up with authority to take that eighth spot.
Yeah, no one wants to finish there. Then to be fair, it looks like there are five teams that have separated themselves, so it's going to be a very tough elimination final to win against whoever finishes fifth.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Adelaide I still have in the box seat, just.
Right.
I think they get to 11 wins, and 11 wins is going to be enough for the first time in almost a decade.
But how weird is it that we've got 18 teams in the comp, and less than half of those teams will play finals, and we're effectively saying whoever finishes eighth isn't probably up to it and are lucky to sneak in.
And there's been talk of a wild card round being brought in the past couple of years.
Ninth, tenth, and those teams would be terrible and absolutely not fit for finals.
I suppose it makes sense in the way that eighth is just over the median of the comp, and if we think they're going to get to 11 wins, it's about average. So it just so happens that it's not so much that the league is top heavy this year, is that it's bottom heavy. And that a lot of teams at the bottom can still take games off the middle of the pack.
As we like to see. Can you just explain to me, I think I know, the difference between median and average? Because I was quizzed yesterday. All these words.
Yes.
So I'm not a mathematician, but I was quizzed on Nathan
Jones. High school?
On the average, long time ago, Ben.
Right, okay.
On the average.
Right, 28 now, yes.
On the average player salary in the AFL.
Yes. So mean is average. Yep. Median is the middle number of a set.
Okay.
So if we have 1 to 18, the median would be, 9 or 10, and the average would also be 9 or 10 because it's an evenly distributed set.
Okay, but player salaries aren't evenly distributed, are they? So I would think the middle number, i.e. the median, for player salaries would be about $700,000.
Whereas the mean is sold as about $390,000.
Next year will be $390,000.
Because there are more players on that lower number in the 200s, 300s than there are at the top.
Yeah. The average I gave for Nathan Jones's story was senior listed players.
Yes.
So disregarding rookies.
Yep.
The average this year is, I think it's 376, 421 or something like that. And that's being specific. And next year it'll go up by about another $15,000 to 390 odd.
And that story just briefly was that he had gotten a contract offer which he wasn't thrilled with.
Yeah, the contract offer was a serious lowball. Mm. It was about $260,000 for 1 year. Plus incentives, which is important to note, but in the end, the incentives are reliant on them picking him.
Right.
And if they don't see a future with him at the club,
they
won't pick him and he won't get those incentives. To just use some sort of incentive as an example. But Melbourne came back yesterday with an improved offer, and I think he'll stay and Jones wants to stay.
Yep.
Clearly, he wants to be a one-club player. But it's just awkward when these players are getting towards the end of their careers, and especially when they've been one-club players, how the club handles it. I think there would be an uproar if Melbourne allowed Nathan Jones to go to another club for the last year or two of his career, not because he's a superstar, but because he's been a warrior at a time when the club has been really quite disgraceful in the way they've conducted themselves on the field for a period of time. They're better now, but Nathan Jones in 2012, 13, 14 finished top three, won three best and fairest, and Melbourne finished bottom three each of those 3 years.
Yeah. Paul Roos described him as an ornament to the Melbourne Footy Club. I think that was an apt description.
Yeah, I'd also argue that they aren't better right now than they were in those years. They're second last and deserve to be second
last. But the club is in a better position though, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah, so no, I agree with that.
It's horrible timing to have this sort of story come out, isn't it?
Was it?
You're 17th, and it looks like you're lowballing, and what you're reporting is you're lowballing your captain who's been there for years and years.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrible timing.
I don't mind lowballing players who've been there for years and years, but I think lowballing a captain who's waded through the mud with your team and put off free agency a year and a half out, didn't even consider free agency because he's loyal, and has consistently played his heart out for the club and is now captain, I think that's the wrong thing to do. And I'm saying lowballing, 250 plus incentives, raise it by 100,000, 350 plus incentives. That's about the competition average. And you'd expect that he would be sort of on the fringe of the team next year,
yeah,
which is about the average in the club. So it sort of makes sense from that broad list management perspective.
Melbourne aren't in the run for the top eight at the moment, though.
Not quite,
Maxi. But
they broke their leg a
while
ago.
Where do you kind of put the bottom of the peloton at the moment? Is as far down as the Dockers, or?
I don't think Freo can make it. What would I say? North Melbourne probably can't either. They're 7-11.
Isn't there talk that Carlton are mathematically a chance of making the final?
Imagine that. They're playing like it though. I know you say that their draw's been easier, but there's no such thing as an easy draw for Carlton a few weeks ago.
No, this is look.
And they're 5 of the last 7.
It is very clear at this point I was wrong about sacking Brendan Bolton.
Oh my God, I was going to ask you that. I'm so glad you said that.
Very, very clear.
Yeah, you were vehemently against it at the time.
Yeah.
Well, can you explain why?
Because it looked to me, I did not see that. I mean, no one saw them winning 5 out of 7.
No.
But I didn't see them having this much improvement in them. But there it was.
Yeah. Sacking a coach.
It doesn't always work like that, but sometimes it does.
There's one thing to have a spike. There's another thing to actually have a considered improvement. And they have changed the way they play. And now their good players are playing good footy and their mediocre players, and I use Jack Silvani in this bracket, is playing good footy.
Sorry, back to the run-home.
Sorry, yes.
They can make it because they can get to 10 and 12. They won't because their percentage is still 87.9. Yes. They still have to play Richmond at the MCG and Geelong at the Cattery. But can, yes, we're saying there's a chance.
What about St Kilda? They are more likely at they the are, moment.
Because they're 8-10, so they're a game out, but their percentage is 85, which is terrible.
So they've got to win 4 of the last 4.
Realistic. If they win 4 of 4, Adelaide and Bulldogs don't get to 12. They win 2 more each.
They play Adelaide this weekend.
Yes, that helps. And they play Fremantle at Marvel, Carlton at the G, Sydney at the SCG.
It's a good draw.
It's absolutely
conceivable they could win the next 4 and finish with 12 wins, and then they might miss out on percentage or they might make it.
They have to beat Adelaide because Adelaide and the Bulldogs play each other in round 23. That's basically one guaranteed win for one of them, unless there's a draw, of course.
It's not a disgracefully tough last month for St Kilda.
Absolutely not.
They're playing good footy. We spoke about it last week. I was amazed that Melbourne were quite significantly favourites against St Kilda.
I think you're skewing what the odds were and suggesting that's heavily
favourites. Well, they were $1.75 versus $2.10.
It's pretty close.
No, but
that's like 60-40.
I think St Kilda should have been favourites, and if they weren't favourites, it should have been like within a few cents of each other, not 25, 30 cents.
And the
result played out that way.
That's what the market said it was.
Yeah, well, they were wrong.
Well, they were. You got the tip right.
Did you get it wrong?
You're leading by 3.
Against over who?
Me.
Listen this
morning. How many tips did you get, Ben?
I got 7 on the weekend.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I'm coming still. I'm
charging
from a little too late,
long
mate.
Way back.
I'm coming. Yeah. If you try to kick too late, you look at Athens 04 on PlayStation.
Yes.
When you kick too early and you're both jamming the laptop or the PlayStation button, and in the end you just die.
Every Olympic video game has been exactly the same since the 80s. It's mash a button as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed.
Since the 80s. You weren't even alive in the 80s.
No, but I remember playing I've played like the NES Olympic games. Summer games, I think it was called.
Yeah, Tom, anyway. Familiar with that, yes.
Yes, anyway, go on.
Bulldogs could finish 8th.
Right.
Bulldogs are a real chance. They're probably the best chance of the teams outside the
They open. Actually look like the best team currently sitting outside the 8. That actually might, if they do play a Brisbane or they play a Richmond, they might be the team that could compete in finals and actually make a bit of a game of it if they finish 8th.
Yes, and the tricky part is they have the hardest draw in the comp, according to my numbers.
So they're playing this weekend?
Brisbane at the Gabba, Essendon at Marvel, Giants at Giants Stadium.
Giants
Stadium. Yeah. And then Adelaide and Ballarat in round 23, which looms as a mini final, but that implies that the Dogs have to win one of those three, which they certainly can. They've beaten Brisbane already this year. They've beaten Richmond already this year earlier. But,
beaten Geelong at Marvel as well.
Yeah.
They're so hard to tip, the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
They're so difficult to tip. They play on such emotion.
They're the positive side of Port, basically. Port right now is the same sort of situation, but they've just had a few losses recently.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but at their best, the Bulldogs, they're great to watch.
Oh, they're incredible. They just flick the ball around with such precision and such speed.
I enjoyed Riley West's debut as well.
And I think what has to be noted about his first goal as well is that he's actually a right footer. So Scotty West was a left footer. Riley West is a right footer, but his crumb and left foot snap was on the non-preferred foot. That was an incredible finish for a guy on debut. So classy.
I did see him play school footy a couple of years ago, and I was very impressed with him then. And He's got a little bit more speed than Scott West. He's not quick.
No.
But he seems to move a little bit better. Although if he has anything like his dad's career, he's going to be an absolute superstar. What was he, an 8-time All-Australian or something, Scott West? Something ridiculous?
Something like that. But he was also a multiple club best and fairest winner as well.
Mr. Consistent.
Yeah.
Very good.
I feel used to annoy me because Scott West on Dream Team back in the day used to get 38 possessions but 27 handballs and get 78. Yeah. And you'd be like, well, this is ridiculous. He keeps getting the ball but doesn't kick it.
Yeah, but if you know it's a trait, you can take that into account.
That's
when you're picking
it. Doing Dream Team.
Well, clearly. Supercoach, of course, the fantasy sport of choice for our
News
company.
Corp. Yep.
Yes.
Please. I feel like Collingwood and Essendon is almost locked in as an elimination final.
Right.
Look at it.
6th v. 7th.
Look at it this way.
Mouthwatering.
No team is going to catch them. Adelaide's the closest. They're 2 games back of them both. And, you know, Collingwood still plays Gold Coast and Melbourne over the next fortnight. Essendon should win a couple of games. They play Freo, for example. But I also don't think they're good enough to catch the 5 teams above them. Like, Essendon has won 5 in a row, but has been behind in the fourth quarter in all 5 games.
Yeah.
How can we trust Essendon right now?
I'm looking forward to talking to Brad Johnson about that, who was up in the Gold Coast to see that game. But now on the Fox Footy podcast, it's time for Australia's favourite segment, Fair or Farce.
Oh, geez, I love that stinger. Okay, Ben, let's start with you. Fair or farce, umpires should be dressed up like NFL referees.
Oh, yes.
Zebras.
No, that's a farce, I think. But that has been, I think, quite overblown. Well, certainly overblown in terms of what Eddie wanted to when he was asked by the Herald Sun for his ideas on radical umpire revamp. Mm. What he is suggesting, though, about more officiators on the ground and a 360-degree view of all incidents, I think has merit. I think boundary umpires and goal umpires, and Eddie says everyone's an umpire now if they're out in the field, and he says 8 of them. But I think the ability for boundary umpires and goal umpires to pick up things that the field umpires can't see should certainly be encouraged. But then it is a case of quality over v quantity as well, which is an interesting conundrum.
What about what they're wearing, though, Ben? Do you like them dressed like zebras?
What a weird story that was like the 5th par. And I think they should be wearing pants.
Yeah, but I think he's thought that for a while. And he says that they can wear that because they won't be moving around as much. So he says ideally they should only have to move 20 metres either side.
I think people have probably got rules change whiplash at the moment. But you can understand that if you were designing...
Rules change whiplash.
If you were designing footy right now, you wouldn't make it so that the umps have to run 10Ks a game, would you?
No, but I tell you what you would do. You would... any ball that goes through the goals, like soccer, would be a goal regardless of where it comes from.
So you like that idea?
Well,
if it flicks the post and goes through
would be a goal.
Sort of old NAB Cup rules style.
Yeah, it used to bounce back out and replay on. I wouldn't do that. I think if it hits the post, it's a point. If it goes through, it's a goal.
Right.
Are we just going to... I think the...
If you're designing the game now, I wouldn't change it.
The conversation around that was weird. It was like... people saying, oh, we're doing another rule change and it'll be good for scoring and all this stuff. But aren't we going to have more reviews if we do that? Because then it's still if it crosses the goal line at all.
What do you mean?
Because I think it was on 7 last night it was brought up. And Luke Darcy was saying, oh, I'm sick of the game being slowed down. There's too many reviews. But if we're still having to figure out if a ball crossed the goal line, we're still having reviews. That doesn't even solve that problem.
No, I'm not talking about slowing the game or quickening it up.
No, I'm responding to that comment.
Okay. Well, I didn't see that comment.
Okay.
Well, anyway, fair or fast? All Max.
There. Hi.
Hi. If the season ended today, Sam Walsh should be the rising star.
So I'm going to say farce because I think from a numerical point of view, Sydney Stack should be the rising star.
Sam Walsh is so far ahead. We are poles apart on this.
I'm against Maxi on this one.
I understand. Yeah. He's having really good numbers for a midfielder in his first season. He's slotted straight in.
Not just numbers.
Have you been sort of influenced by Sarah Olley because you sit next
no,
to
Sarah? No, I've been influenced by...
Sydney Stack's number one fan.
The AFL player ratings.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
Watch
and
the game.
And Daniel Hoyne.
Look at Sam Walsh play. Just look at him.
Yes, okay. But you can look at the games or you can look at the facts behind how players are playing.
Ooh, factually correct.
I like looking at the games and then using what I'm seeing to back...
But the facts are looking at the games. And Sydney Stack is performing better at a tougher position.
As Mark Waugh said on Twitter last week, if we just used batting averages and bowling averages to select test squads, then we'll just have computers. We wouldn't have selectors. There's a bit of nuance in it. And watching Sam Walsh, surely you can see that he is a superstar and the best young player in the comp. No? You don't agree? Okay, fair enough.
His game, I know Cripps gets all the rage from the weekend, but his game against the Crows on the weekend, Sam Walsh, was outstanding.
This is why we enjoy having these debates. So you think Sydney Stack's ahead of Sam Walsh?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to be a better player for his entire career. I can understand the Sam Walsh argument for sure.
No, that's what I'm arguing.
And he's going to win it.
Yes. Fair or farce, to you, Ben.
Yes, Tom.
Grant Birchall should have got more than a warning for his groin grab on Luke Hodge.
Yeah, this is a funny one. I'm going to say...
Funny. It's only funny until the person being grabbed.
I'm going to say fair. Yeah,
fair that he should have got more than a warning.
I think so, yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I think that he should have at least been financially sanctioned.
You know what I like the idea of? I think I saw this as a Facebook comment, and this is the first time I've ever liked a Facebook comment, not literally, but figuratively.
Yes.
He should donate his next game check to a testicular cancer charity.
Right, that's...
Just because it's probably
good awareness, isn't it?
It's good awareness.
Yeah.
Like admitting he did something silly and, you know, making amends. And it's a nice gesture as
so
well.
So people will probably say, why the heck should he be looked at? Michael Christian made the right decision when it's just clearly jovial. And that's the reason why Michael Christian didn't take it any further. But if that happened neutrally to players that didn't really know each other, then that's... Well, is it rules for some, rules for others?
It's all about how Luke Hodge responded. And it appeared like he didn't mind too much. But I don't care if I'm with my best friend. If someone does that to me, I'm going to be really annoyed at that. That to me is absolutely no go zone. That to me is worse than spitting or stamping or pinching or any of those sort of left of center offenses. I just think it's not on.
Yep.
I'm not saying he should be suspended, but I think there should have been a please explain.
No, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
I think they did address it with him and give him a warning.
Yeah, it was a warning. So I guess you can be satisfied with that. But I would not be happy if I was Luke Hodge.
That's fair for me, Tom.
Regardless of the relationship I had with the person. Mm. Max.
Hi.
Fair or fast, Jamie Elliott might be better off at another club after a string of injuries over the last few years at Collingwood.
Probably fair. I can definitely see that argument. You know,
he was a good player 3 or 4 years ago. He was a gun.
And we know he can be. But given the way Collingwood has its injury issues and has had its injury issues for 5, 6 years now, you question whether it is best for him to be elsewhere, because I don't know what the medical staffs could be doing, but maybe they have a better plan for him at another club.
The issue with Jamie Elliott has always been everyone thinks he's a small forward, but he actually plays like a tall forward.
Yeah,
so he actually leads up at the ground. He takes marks. For a player of his height, he should be much more active below his knees, but he's not.
I was thinking Jamie Elliott's the sort of player that would go back and play in the Northern Footy League or the Eastern Footy League and kick 180 goals for the season.
Yes.
He would absolutely dominate.
He would tear it to shreds,
actually. Like what Stephen Milne and Ahmed Saad did.
Ahmed Saad
went back and kicked a lot of goals. Yes. Now, the last two fair or fast is about two different sports.
Yes.
One of them is close to my heart, one of them is not.
Right.
I'll go to... Is it your go now, Ben?
Yes,
it is. It is your go. Fair or fast, the Australian Ashes squad was spot on.
But we like complaining about selectors.
I won't lie. I haven't looked into it very, very deeply, but I would say fair. The squad was 17.
Mm.
I don't think there are any glaring omissions. Did you think there were any glaring omissions?
Well, John, they don't have a backup spinner. So John Holland
missed out.
But I think if Nathan... I don't want to go too deeply into it, but that's for the Fox Cricket podcast.
No, you do.
The Miracle of 99. But if Nathan Lyon got injured, they wouldn't have played John Holland. They just would have played four quick. So there's no point having John Holland.
Where's
there,
the first
unfortunately.
Test?
Is it Edgbaston? Edgbaston starts Thursday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on if you haven't seen the squad that closely.
Not deeply, but I would say that the tendency to play more pace bowlers on English decks...
Yes.
Instead of spinners is probably appropriate. So I'm not too dissatisfied with not playing a second spinner, besides Victorian patriotism.
So this is cricket we're talking about?
Yes, it is, Max.
Cricket.
Yeah.
It's the one with the bats, right?
Yes, the one with the bats. Okay, let's talk about...
you would hate hearing that kind of stuff.
No, no, we move along.
Who's winning?
Who's winning is the worst question you can ask in cricket. Max, fair or fast, the final stage of the Tour de France is the most absurd thing in world sport.
Fair, because I told you to ask me that.
This was a setup.
So...
Answer the question.
So the way the Tour de France works, you have 21 stages this year. You have 20. The 20th stage was a mountaintop finish.
Yep.
There was
thrilling finish.
Very weird circumstances around that. Yes. It got shortened because there was like a landslide the stage before. Anyway, so they have that. And the final stage of the race, it's just a procession.
Down the Champs-Élysées.
Yes, they go, it's all flat. They go down the Champs-Élysées. They go around a few times. Then they have a sprint finish. And Caleb Ewan, the Australian, won his third stage. Yes. Fantastic stuff. But there's no point to it. It's like this gentleman's rule where you can't actually try and win.
So there's no room in world sport for that kind of
thing. It's a procession, but it's graded as a stage.
Right.
Have the Tour de France finish on the mountaintop, because then you have this weird situation every year where it's, well, this guy, he's about to win the Tour de France. He will. He's set to. But he doesn't, because you still have to do that one last flat stage. I think the last time that actually anyone raced on it was an American against a French guy, and he made up 30 seconds in a breakaway and won the Tour, and everyone was upset, and probably that's why they changed it. But I feel like they should just move it back. It's silly.
I've got no opinion.
Okay.
You're not part of the couch peloton?
When you've got Wimbledon, the World Cup cricket, and AFL, And yeah, all happening at the same time. There's no room for the Tour de France in my household.
Well, the Tour de France is the weirdest sporting event in the world because it's just, it's a tourism ad.
Yeah.
And then there's some bikes going past every now and then. Yeah, and then at 1 a.m. there's a sprint.
Yeah, it's amazing. My girlfriend's grandfather stays up all night, he's mid-80s, and he watches it, not because he likes cycling, he just likes the French countryside. Yeah, and he openly admits he likes the rolling hills. Can you imagine watching TV to see grass grow, literally?
Well, that's not...
Have you told him this?
It's so peaceful.
I wouldn't be telling him that. That would not be a smart career move.
It's peaceful. It's conversational. It's, you can tune in or out whenever you want to.
What sort of sport is good where you can tune out whenever you want to? Surely you want to be glued to it.
Isn't that kind of cricket to a certain extent?
Test cricket's an exception to that, Ben.
Exactly. It's my test cricket.
Anyway, what's next?
That was the end of Fair
Enough. Yes. Good. Thank you.
Great work, Thomas.
Thank you.
It's now time for our special guest on the Fox Footy podcast, and he's the smiling assassin himself. He's always very, very happy, and he's off to Sydney today ahead of the Back Page tonight. He is the Western Bulldogs games record holder, Brad Johnson, and he joins us on the Fox Footy podcast. Hello, Jono.
Benny, how are you? Nice introduction. Really appreciate that. Tommy and Maxie, how are you guys?
Good, Jono. Good. Well. Looking forward to watching you on Back Page tonight as well.
He's really sort of warms that seat nicely.
And him and Alan Border are going to go head to head. Yep.
Yes, Tommy.
Between them, they've played about 550 games of elite sport. How many?
Tommy,
tests?
don't disclose the way I go about it, Tommy.
Not at all. I won't. Please not. Okay? I won't. I think Alan Border played 156 tests. I think same as Steve Waugh.
I think he's probably just got Jono covered in terms of test centuries, though.
How many tests did you boys play?
Zero between us, Jono, but we're not done yet. We're only in our late 20s.
Yeah, I know. We could be picking.
Yeah, but you're talking it up. You're talking it up as if I've played none and you guys have also played 100 tests.
Which is fair.
Anyway, let's talk about footy.
So you were on the Gold Coast on Sunday night, and we're just blown away by the games that we're seeing in this Sunday night, Sunday twilight spot at the moment, and Sunday just gone didn't disappoint. What would be your takeaways from the game where the Bombers again had to come from behind to register a victory for the fifth consecutive week?
Yeah, it was interesting. We were sort of there as well thinking, well, Essendon were only probably 5% behind Collingwood prior to the game. We thought, oh, well, this is probably a chance for Essendon to get a good 10-goal win and maybe bridge that gap in terms of percentage to the Pies and look at jumping into the sixth position on the ladder. So... But it didn't go that way at all, did it, in terms of the way the Gold Coast came out and played was really strong and really effective, more so in the middle of the ground. That's Essendon's problem at the moment with Bell Chambers out, that Zach Clark's just not getting it done consistently enough. And he had a good last quarter again, but first quarter, Witt was all over him and just putting it down the throat of the Gold Coast midfielders, and they were getting it forward to some good one-on-one battles, and they struggled a little bit without Hurley down back, so Gold Coast took the advantage in that area. So that's where Essendon over the next couple of weeks have to continue to hang in there until they get Heppel back and Hurley back and possibly Bell Chambers.
Jono, your old mate, Dale Morris, is he right to play on? Can he get back next year and play some good footy at the senior level?
Oh, it's who knows now, Tommy. That's the predicament that Dale's in and the footy club as well. And they'll look after Dale and we know all clubs do in terms of, you know, his recovery and his rehab and whether he gets back and they give him another contract. It's a really big decision they'll have to make for the footy club and for Dale going in now to what is his first full Rico, but it's a 12 months ahead in terms of now his recovery, and he hasn't played much footy now for the last few years and the age he's at, but he's still his body overall though and his physical nature is still really strong, Dale Morris. So if he comes back, he's still in reasonable shape and he can still play that really defensive role for the club for another couple of years. But the chance now goes to another young defender, and there's an opportunity there for someone to stand up and sort of say, okay, well, Dale's out. This is my chance.
Philosophically, I'm interested in your thought. I mean, we know you could have played forever, Jono, but there's AFL clubs who like to move on players that are slightly older, and we look at Hawthorn and the way they treated Sam Mitchell and Jordan Lewis in a respectful but a strong way. And then we look at Melbourne and their potential trepidation around allowing Nathan Jones to go around again. And every club has a different method, it seems. Jared McVeigh was meant to retire, then he's played on again. What is philosophically your belief in the key elements that should allow a player who's reaching the back end of his career and maybe not the player they once were to play on again? Because Dale Morris is right in this conversation, but every club probably has one or two as well.
I think mentally to start is the start point for those conversation where a player is sitting mentally. You look at you look at Brent Harvey and Nick Riewoldt as another couple of examples as well, that there's no question that in my mind that Nick Riewoldt could still be having an impact for the St Kilda Football
this
Club.
Year.
This year, yeah. No question. Because of the way that he finished last year really in a really strong, had a really strong season. The year before, I mean. Yeah. So, and Brent Harvey was in a similar fashion at North Melbourne. He wasn't being pushed out of the side because he wasn't playing well.
No.
And he was just basically told, you're too old. Yeah. But physically and mentally, he was still better than 80% of the list. So
is that wrong? Is that the way the clubs do that?
If I was a coach and a player was of that ilk of 36, 35, 36 years of age, but still dominating his position and his role, and he's not being knocked out of that position by another player who you would give opportunities to, then I would be keeping them as long as they can in the game, because we don't need to get rid of these guys if they're still physically and mentally having a great impact for your footy club.
And I suppose it's almost the fear of, well, if they fall off the face of a cliff in the middle of a season, what do you do? But it's not the worst thing in the world. You've got players who can step up anyway. It's the same situation with Dale Morris getting injured.
They're on one-year deals at that point of their career. They're not on multi-year deals. They're on one-year deals. So if a player, for example, finishes top five in a best and fairest and he's 35, are you not going to sign him up because he's just being 36? Mm-hmm. Of course you'll give him another. In my mind, you give him another contract. And if it falls away in that final year, make him enjoy it. Let him enjoy his final year of football and go out in a really positive way. And then he's motivated to stay in the game, because we don't want these champions of our game finishing in such a negative light that they don't want to be a part of the industry anymore. We've seen that in the past.
Makes a lot of sense to me. For the Dogs more broadly, Jono, where do you see them right now? They're ninth, just out of the eight on percentage. I think a lot of people think they're probably the team that's most likely to finish eighth at this point, given the Crows' recent swoon. Where do you see them? Do you think they can actually play finals?
I think they can challenge and be really competitive come finals times. I'm not sure how deep they could possibly go, to be honest, just because of the fluctuations throughout the home and away season. The sides that they have beaten have been unbelievable right up the top of the ladder, yet they've dropped games to the sides that are sitting below them. So that's been the inconsistencies around that. But and it's even proven over the last 2 weeks, the loss to St Kilda, who have shown the last 2 weeks they're playing pretty positive footy, but you still expect the Dogs to have handled that one. And then the way they came out on the weekend and started kicking 8-2 in the first quarter was huge against Freo, and they got it right. So when they get it right, it's impressive to watch, but they can struggle at times as well.
If you had to make a call right now, do they play finals?
Oh, wow. They're probably I think at the moment, they're probably the best of the sides that are fighting for eighth.
All right.
So you've got Port Adelaide, the Western Bulldogs,
Hawthorne,
St Kilda,
kind of.
Hawthorne. I think they're the best of that lot.
Jono, just a couple more before we let you go. The coaching merry-go-round and I suppose the vacant positions that still need to be filled officially from three different clubs has been a big talking point in the footy world over not just the past couple of days, but the past few weeks. But I suppose with David Teague doing so well, Reece Shaw essentially got the gig now without it being official, and Brett Ratten having an excellent start to his interim campaign. Kind of the forgotten figure almost in the background to a certain extent is Brad Scott, who has been linked to basically all three jobs. Is there a danger that when these jobs all come to officially be landed, that he might be left without a chair at the table?
Well, there is that, I suppose, chance that could happen on the back of the way that the caretaker coaches have gone and dominated and the style of play they're putting forward is great for the competition. I don't know whether you guys agree, but I think other coaches in the competition should have a look at this. And I want these guys to be successful. We've got St Kilda kicking 100 points 2 weeks in a row. It's huge for the competition. So, and same with the way North Melbourne played. Carlton are the same. They're becoming attractive teams to watch. That's why we all love the West Coast Eagles or the Brisbane Lions this year, because they play a fluent brand of football that allows them to score and doesn't take away from the defensive aspects of the game. So if these guys do get the job, I hope they've got the courage to keep going with the way that their style is at the moment, because it's a style that works, I think, in the competition. It's a style that's bringing out the best in the and the talent within the groups that they've got. So I think it's been really positive and has shaped the competition in a way with what these caretakers have done since taking over.
Nice work, Jono. So you're on the back page on Tuesday night on Fox Sports, and then the Saturday stretch team is back on Saturday night, but there's a big change at the selection table. Sarah Ollie out due to vacation, and Kath Lachlan joining the crew.
Thanks for breaking the news to me, Betty.
Is that right?
Oh, right.
I haven't been told that yet. So
just skipping the business part of the season.
Sarah's been great this year. She probably deserves a break, but interesting time of year to pick it with only 4 weeks remaining,
Not good enough, in my view. Absolutely unacceptable from the great woman.
You get a Don Pike-style statement from you, Jono.
Or a Keith Thomas-style statement.
Well, we know Kath will do really well. It'll be great to have her on the show, and it's been a great year with the stretch guys. We've had a lot of fun.
Well, we know what happens with caretakers this year. If Kath performs well, Sarah Ollie might be in a bit of trouble.
Yep. Brilliant. We might have a new game style on Saturday stretch, I reckon. Be a bit more proactive in the way we go about it.
Look forward to it, Jono. You're doing great work across the channel at the moment. All the best for the weekend, and look forward to you joining us next time on the Fox Footy podcast.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for that.
Thanks very much to Brad Johnson for joining us on the Fox Footy podcast. Do you think Nick Riewoldt could be still having an impact at AFL level in 2019?
I'm sure Nick won't mind me saying. I asked him, he was on the couch a few weeks ago, and I said to him after the couch, what sort of exercise are you doing these days? He's still in pretty good shape, and he plays a bit of cricket in the summer occasionally.
Does he
really? Played the Matty Riewoldt's vision game a couple of times, and he was kicking the footy in the Matty Riewoldt's vision game. So I said, what sort of exercise do you do?
Weird way to play cricket.
And he said to me, well, not much. I had to go to the gym a bit. And I said, do you run? And he said, oh, no, I can't really. And I thought I'd push a bit more. And I said, so if you ran the tan tomorrow, would you be able to do it? And he said, if I ran the tan tomorrow, I wouldn't be able to walk the next day.
Right.
And he's 35-ish, 36. So judging on that, I don't see how he could be able to play AFL at this point.
But that's after stopping for a while. Like, if he was still in the I suppose, the rhythm of preseason and weekly stuff, which is grueling, but would that... He'd be looked after.
I'm not a doctor, but it felt like watching the last half season of Nick Riewoldt's career. He was turning like a truck, and he just wasn't the player anywhere near that he was even at the start of that season. The end comes quick for key position players. I'm not sure he could still be having an impact for St Kilda on the field, but I think if he was still on the list, hypothetically, he would still be having an impact in some regard.
Well, St Kilda's loss has been Fox Footy's gain because he's been outstanding for Fox.
I think he's the best special comments person in the game, Nick Riewoldt.
He's certainly gaining a big reputation.
How was your half marathon on the weekend, Benny, by the way?
I pulled up okay, thanks for asking, Max.
Time, please?
I did 1 hour 48.
Nice, so 507 about Ks five... in my off the top of my head.
Jeez, you've done well to work that out very quickly, Max. Tom, that's right, yes. Yeah. No, very happy.
Well done.
Had some knee interruptions, pain interruptions.
You're becoming quite the athlete. You're quite a plump young child, weren't you?
No, that's factually correct. It's about 22 kilos ago, yes.
No, 22 kilos?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
You don't need to lose any more weight. You're looking fit now.
No. I got a gym membership, lost about 14 of sort of...
14. If I lost 14 kilograms, I'd, in about 6 months? I'd fall away in the wind.
It is possible. Yeah. It is possible.
Well done, Ben.
Thank you, Tom.
Inspiration to those of us who need it.
Now, what sort of mailbag do we have today,
yes,
Max?
Yes, it's now Max's. Time for Max's mailbag.
We have Max's mailbag.
What are some of the questions coming in, Maxie?
Well, we have one here from someone whose name I cannot pronounce because it's some sort of basketball thing, but I'll say that Alley Oops. I got it.
Right.
I got it. It's Alley Oops.
Awesome. Right.
I figured it out.
That's a basketball term, I presume.
What? It's like me in cricket. Why do Richmond supporters think that playing at Marvel counts as travelling?
Do they? I can't speak for all 100,000 Richmond members.
I always thought that was the joke against Melbourne. They didn't know where Marvel Stadium was.
That's true. Yes, that's true. But to be fair, that Richmond lost.
Have you ever
the
tried to drive a Land Rover through the city at peak hour to Marvel Stadium?
It's I don't really drive.
Did you,
so
have
no.
you done that? Have
no, I just imagine all Melbourne supporters would find it quite difficult. Oh.
You're a Melbourne supporter saying that, so you're allowed to do it.
Lol.
I saw a Brisbane supporter.
There were two questions about the Essendon Gold Coast, not goal review situation, but the rush behind one. Cal Rentray asked if the AFL needed to issue an apology to the Bombers over Rampy and the Suns incident, because that is two for the Bombers in one season.
Do I have to issue an official apology?
Imagine if you issued an apology for every incorrect umpiring decision. Okay, that's fine. But what about a missed kick to goal? Do you expect the person who kicks it out on the full to issue the members an apology? No, these apologies, they're weasel words.
But are they? But
just get it right the next time.
But is our tweeter here saying that these two decisions have directly impacted you know, the scoreboard.
Well, maybe, but every umpiring decision has impacted the scoreboard. I don't like apologies for incorrect umpiring decisions. I like key umpiring decisions being leading to the AFL coming out and saying, we got this wrong.
Right.
But they don't need to say sorry. That's part of sport, that people get things wrong.
Yeah, this was human error. Yes. The goal umpire made the mistake.
And it was a shocking human error. He was in the perfect position. How could he not see that?
Oh, well.
Anyway.
That's what happens. You'd probably get some wrong too if you were a goal umpire, Tom.
Yep.
Good.
That's why I'm not.
The Brad Fitz asks, how does Don Pike's position remain tenable when the Crows have been comprehensively beaten in most stats during their past few games, minus the
two
Suns?
Words. What's his name, this guy?
The Brad Fitz.
The Brad Fittler. The Brad Fitz, two words, soft cap.
Right.
There is no way that Don Pike remains in his job beyond this year if they continue to go down a path where they lose games and miss the eight, I must say, if the soft cap doesn't exist. At the moment, I don't see how they can possibly sack him given how much it would cost them.
And it would cost between around $3 and $4 million, we think.
Yeah, I read what you wrote yesterday, yeah.
That was floated out there. I mean,
soft caps are $9 million. I don't know who you're going to get to coach the team. That's tough.
I think we've brought this up on the podcast before. It's coaches are seeing out their contracts, but it does cost so much to get rid of them. It's just teams can't, even if you're a West Coast that has an enormous amount of money in your back pocket, you can't afford to do that sort of thing anymore.
Just on the Crows, what did you make of the impromptu meeting? Well, it was a planned meeting among sort of coaches and officials that Don Pike was going to have people around at his place, but then the invite was extended. It's always dangerous when you extend the invite, but the invite was extended to the playing group. So apparently there's heaps of kids running around throughout the whole day. It would have been a very busy household. But what are your thoughts? Because and sort of the interesting image of 18 months ago, we had the Collective Minds camp, and then we've then got the beer and pizza. Let's put our arms around each other. I mean, you know, 18 months later.
My thoughts are the proof is always in the pudding. And it will depend on how they play this weekend and for the rest of the season. If they play well, you could say, well, it had an impact. If they play poorly, you'd say, well, it had no impact.
If we're at the point where...
I don't know what to make of pizza and beer. Does that make me play better sport?
It's not about that. It's about the camaraderie and just refreshing with 4 weeks to go in the season.
Yeah, but does that make your team play better?
It might be the circuit breaker that is appropriate for this playing
group. I'm skeptical. I'm not against it. I'm skeptical whether it actually has a tangible difference on whether you're going to win or lose.
And you're right, the proof will be in the pudding.
If you're players who've been turned off your club, your coach, your officials by that camp and a year and a half of disdain about that sort of thing, I don't think one dinner is going to solve it.
No. They need to develop that trust. Trust is so easy to lose and so quick to lose and takes so long to get back. And I think there's still issues at the club in that regard.
Nick White asks, when will we get to a point where a player being traded does not get to choose where he lands, and should the game get to that point?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I don't think the game should get to that point. I think the player... Well, we're talking about a contracted player or any player?
The same as in US sports, where you can trade any player.
Yeah, no, I don't think they should be complete pawns for clubs to flick around whoever they want. But equally, I don't think player power should be so strong that they should be able to refuse to go to 17 club or 16 clubs and say, I have to go to that club. I would
There's
like
a middle
it,
ground there.
I would like it if players gave a priority, let's say a top three to the club. So let's use an example. I don't know. Steve May is being traded from the Gold Coast Suns. He said, I want to go to Melbourne. And then second choice is Collingwood. And then third choice is, I don't know, Essendon. So I want to be in Victoria. I want to be at one of those three clubs. And then the club, it's up to the Gold Coast what they do. But I would have thought a good club would go, we're going to do our absolute best to get you to Melbourne. But if we can't, we'll get you to Collingwood. And I think that's a good happy middle ground compared to players saying, I'm only going to this club and that is it. Otherwise, I'm going to the draft. And I think holding clubs to ransom is not good, but I think clubs holding players to ransom is equally not good.
Does that specifically work in cases like Tim Kelly, where it was reported that he would only go to West Coast and not Fremantle?
Yeah, but I think there was more to it behind the scenes. I think that's been reported as well.
Yeah,
it's a tough one. When family comes into it, it becomes
really
delicate.
And it's purely a family decision.
Yeah, he loves playing there.
Yeah.
I think he'll be happy to go to Freo next year. At the end of this year, sorry.
If he does, or...
Well, if he wants to be traded,
right.
I don't think he's going to say, I don't want to go to Freo again, is what I'm saying.
Why would we trade a Brownlow medalist, Ben?
Well, has he got the Brownlow medal wrapped up? Kingy said that Lachie Neal was the odds-on favourite in his book, which makes a lot of sense because who's going to take votes off Lachie Neal up at the Lions?
Jared Lyons.
Dane
Zorko.
Well, Zorko didn't poll well last year. Only had 6 votes last year.
That's a fair point.
I really enjoyed, just on the Lions, I really enjoyed when they wore their home footy kits to training last week or the week before. Did you see that? They all wear their club kits from their local clubs.
Junior clubs.
And the winner of the recruit wore his recruit jumper.
Matty Eagle.
Which I really enjoyed, Maxie. Yes.
Yes, I'll do my recaps again. One more from Jimmy Farrell, who asks, is Brad Shepherd the AA back pocket?
Over the last weekend, it just feels like everyone's being thrown in the All-Australian mix.
That's Jared Healy. It's the All-Australian lobbying
season.
Yes. Oh, he's a chance, Brad Shepherd. I don't watch enough of West Coast to know exactly how he's playing compared to every single other halfback or back pocket, but he's a very good player.
I know he's been good.
And he takes marks, intercept marks, and he delivers the ball quite well.
And he's excellent one-on-one. He's, in terms of one-on-one small defenders, he's excellent. Not quite sort of the Nick Smith moles when he was at his peak, but
The problem he has is twofold. One is that Hearn and McGovern are probably good chances to be in the mix still.
Hearn probably maybe captain the side.
Absolutely. The second is all Australian defensive selections, it's all about novelty. Because you're either like in there for 10 years straight, or you're getting, oh, let's give this guy a go. This guy's been good, and the narrative is to build around them. I don't know that the narrative is yet built around Brad Shepherd.
Good questions from the mailbag this week, Maxie. You can always tweet us at Fox Footy to get involved in the Fox Footy podcast. Time now for the tips and the cups on the Fox Footy podcast. We start on Friday night, North Melbourne and Hawthorn, big game. This is for the Lance Piccioni Cup.
Of course it is. We all know that.
Yes.
It's weird. Hawthorn has looked better recently, but I want to trust North Melbourne still. I feel like they had those two close losses, but for some reason I'm backing the Roos. It's not even a home game. It's an equal game. It's Marvel.
Yeah. North Melbourne for me.
See, there we go.
I like North Melbourne. And I'm just going to tip whatever Max does.
No,
I'm not going to do
that's
that.
That's just horrible.
No, I'm not doing that.
Essendon and Port Adelaide on Saturday afternoon. This is for the quadruple C, the Shea Cockatoo Collins Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Essendon at Marvel.
Yes, Essendon is. Yeah. I don't trust Port on the road.
I love Port.
Do you trust Essendon, though?
I feel like these are the two closest games of the round.
Yeah. And good start to the round.
I might go to this game. To support Port.
For lols?
I'll get my Port scarf on and...
Right.
Excellent. You're going to be a member of every interstate club next year.
And then you'll be on Fox Footy a little bit later on in the day.
Yep, I'll sing In Excess, Never Tear Us Apart.
Excellent.
Thank you.
GWS Giants and the Sydney Swans for the time-honoured Sydney Derby.
The Giants are starting to hum. I'm going for the Giants here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They should pump them. The Swans were the youngest team and least experienced team of round 19.
Which I don't mind, by the way.
No, I like that
a
lot.
Like, this is the time to do it. Last few games of the year, get some games in, and then next year you might have a little spike.
And they were still competitive against the Cats.
Yes, they were, especially early.
Yes. First half, very concerning as a Cats fan. Yeah.
Fremantle and Geelong, this is for the Marcus Drum Cup.
Well done from you, Ben.
Thank you.
I'm tipping... how did Geelong go last week?
They won by 27 in the end, which I think was...
Beat the Swans at the SCG.
Is that their fourth win by 27 points
this year?
They've
gone over to Perth. I'm tipping Geelong here.
I think they're just good enough. That two straight road games, very similar, low quality
opponent.
You're not
being pessimistic here.
I couldn't tip Freo.
Question is, if you're going to make up this deficit of three, you've got to start tipping differently to me at some point, Max. And
yeah, but I want to get them right too. I'm not going to tip things I think are not going to happen.
Okay.
I'll look over this during the week. I'll make my call.
Okay.
Melbourne and Richmond for the time-honoured Ricky Pettered Cup, Tom.
Yeah, he dropped a crucial mark in the square against Collingwood in a 2010 home and away game.
Queen's
still haunts
Queen's
me.
Birthday,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Richmond.
Yes, Richmond.
Adelaide and St Kilda for the Fergus Watts Cup.
Adelaide will bounce back and win this, I think. I also think St Kilda will give it a crack, but they're not good enough to win it.
They have not won a road game outside of Queensland in over 2 years, St Kilda.
Is that right?
So you could consider tipping this. If you wanted to make up a tip, for example, you could pick the Saints.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I'm potentially tipping the Saints in this one.
But you're so far down, Ben, it doesn't matter.
I'm coming, though.
Irrelevant.
Collingwood and the Gold Coast Suns for the Danny Stanley Cup.
Collingwood.
Gold Coast could they?
No.
So I said this last week about
the
Essendon
game.
They
were stiff on the weekend.
And they were so close.
Yeah.
Is Collingwood worse than Essendon right now? But if so, does that the MCG surely makes up for that? Collingwood, I guess, but yeah. I don't know.
Gee, they ran into the Suns at a good time for the Pies.
Yes, and Melbourne.
Yeah.
Carlton and West Coast for the Callum Chambers Cup.
Again, another one.
Mm. You know what? I'm tipping Carlton.
Well, yes, I can tip West Coast.
Gee, that is a risk when you're out
sorry,
in front, Tom.
If you're three clear, then you've been taking risks the right way, I will continue to tip who I think is going to win, and I think Carlton's going to win.
You backed them last week, and you were correct in doing so.
I really like Carlton at the moment. Carlton, in the teams I like, it goes Brisbane, Gold Coast, Carlton.
Okay. Gold Coast second.
I like Gold Coast, yeah. The last 2 weeks they've given it a crack. They're just not up
right.
to it.
Yeah.
But I like the whole way they're going about
Carlton,
it. I feel sorry for them.
Last three times they played the Eagles have gotten within three goals every time.
Yeah. So Carlton at Marvel. If this was at the MCG, I probably wouldn't tip Carlton, but I like Carlton at Marvel.
Yeah. So speaking of teams you like the Lions.
I'm a Lions member. And Ben, I got a Lions text message today wishing me a happy birthday from the Brisbane Lions.
It was from a specific player?
No, unfortunately, it wasn't from Dane Zorko or Alex Witherden. No, it just said happy birthday, then to opt out, text opt out.
I don't think you opted out,
absolutely
did you?
No way. I want to text next year as well.
Brisbane hosts the Western Bulldogs. Great game to finish the round. Yes. This is for the Justin Sherman Cup.
Sunday Twilight's the best fixture on the week. Every week.
Yeah, I like watching it.
And the Lions play well in them, so I'll pick the Lions.
Yeah, Lions.
Nice.
At the Gabba.
Happy birthday, Thomas.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Max. Thanks for your support. And remember to keep clicking back to foxfooty.com.au.
What?